Constitution of the United States.
I was thinking.
Okay. I'm going to add in. Sorry.
Okay. Okay. And the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
And the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
And that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially.
And that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially
discharge the duties as a school board member.
Discharge my duties as a school board member.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Okay. Okay. It's late, so I will say I do solemnly swear.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Then you can sign these. And do we have the notary public? Is that you, Sharon?
No, Karen is the notary.
I didn't bring it with me, sorry.
But you can witness it and sign off tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So why don't you sign them, and then we can give them to Karen, and she can take care of them tomorrow. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Does that sound good? Okay. Thanks. All right. Now I can do the call to order again. Call to order. Okay. Sharon, would you please see if there's a quorum?
Jean Ellis?
Here.
Jay Lister?
Here.
Sarah Holmgreen?
Here.
Megan Lister?
Here.
Cheryl File?
Cheryl's absent today. So we have a quorum. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's okay, Sarah. You don't have to do that part.
Hard to hear.
Kind of a little hard to follow that, yes. Okay, we have an addition to the agenda that we're going to do. It's going to be item 13.6, mm-hmm. and it is under new business. It's refrigerator units. So we'll add that under new business. And then we have the consent agenda. Is there anything in the consent agenda that anybody would like to pull out? If not, I would like a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second that.
You might say as amended.
As amended. Do I add the details or no? Okay, thank you.
Okay, motion was made and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. Okay, student representative report. Van Abbott, hey, you're way down there. We thought about moving you up. Well, anyway, you can see.
Oh,
it right
is
there
that my name tag?
It is.
It doesn't matter.
It is.
So the cross country, they just had state 2 weekends ago, right? Yeah. And the girls team got 6th and the boys team got 9th, and this was the first time in 11 years that both the girls and boys team went together, and everyone ran fairly well. Wrestling started at the very end of September, and they have had a few tournaments, and they have a good start to their season. Swimming has done pretty well. The boys team has won just about all the meets, and the girls only have 4, so they're doing good individually, though. And then regions is in 2 weeks for that. Volleyball regions is in 3 weeks. They've had numerous games in the past, in their season. And JV leaves this weekend. Yeah.
JV volleyball?
Yeah, for volleyball.
All right. Are there any questions for Van?
Yeah.
We have a music concert this week.
Oh, right. Yeah. Honor Band. And choir are in Juneau. They get back tomorrow.
Okay, so they went up last Friday or something, or they've been up
Sunday. Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday kind of, or whatever, kind of.
Yeah, thing. So they performed, I think, Monday and Tuesday, or
right
tonight?
Now,
okay.
Right now,
oh, yeah, here we go.
Wonder if it's being, if...
This webcast, jdhsvideo.org.
jdhsvideo.org, and you can listen to it.
Correct.
Right now.
You can see it.
Oh, you can see it.
Watch it. Yep.
Cool. Okay.
About 140 of the best musicians in Southeast.
Okay. Could you hear that, Cheryl? Or Sarah?
I didn't catch all of it. Was it, you could watch something online?
Yeah, because it's the Honors Music Concerts going on right now in Juneau.
Really? Oh, okay.
But we have you otherwise occupied. So.
If I just go to the JDHS website, I should be able to find it?
That's it, yep. That's what he said.
Thanks.
All righty. Correspondence. No correspondence? Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Oh.
Can I go?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank
goodbye,
you,
then.
Hi.
Have
thanks.
A good evening.
Thanks.
Study hard.
That's awesome.
Comments from the audience related to agenda items? Comments from board members? Consent agenda. Like a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Megan Litzer.
Here.
Jay Litzer.
Here.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Jean Ellis.
Yes. Maybe I didn't state that motion correctly. Anyway, the motion was to approve the agenda, so a consent agenda. And I don't think I said that over again. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Anyway, the consent agenda has now been approved, 4-0. And actually, the reason we have her call your names is whenever we spend money,
mm-hmm.
We have to have a roll call vote. And Sharon keeps track of that a lot better than I do. She's the one that kind of tells me when we're supposed to do that. So. And this is spending money because the regular bills are within this, within the consent agenda, the monthly mm-hmm. accounting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, administrative reports, superintendent's report, Dr. Lisa Stroh.
Okay. Boy, it's been a busy month. The elementary school renovation is almost completed. We should be pretty much done in, say, the next couple of weeks. So that will be nice when all that's done and have closure there. The kitchen renovation that is on our capital improvement list, we went to the Borough Assembly as a school district representatives a couple of weeks ago, and the kitchen renovation was moved up from number 6 on the borough priority to number 4. So that's very nice to know that it's a real priority of the borough also, and that will help us to get the kitchen renovation a little bit higher on the list of priorities for the Department of Education. Hopefully, there's no guarantees, but it shows that the community really backs that kitchen renovation. On a really good note also, yesterday we were notified that the school district is a recipient of a $20,000 grant, and Carly Wells, that's the director of our food service, had written this grant to buy a combi oven and a steam table. So for all of you that don't know what a combi oven is, she said that's a combination oven. So I thought it was two ovens, but it's one oven that will do lots of things. It will be a regular oven, it'll be a convection oven, and it will also be a steamer. So you could make like steamed fish or steamed vegetables in that oven. And so that's really exciting to get that $20,000 grant. Later in the agenda, we'll talk about the refrigeration unit that went out, but that will be for later in the meeting. Also, since the last board meeting, the two principals and Ginger Evans and myself went to Salt Lake City and there was a conference there talking about teacher evaluation, since that's a state mandate to really revamp how we evaluate teachers. We went down and we're proceeding through with the school district. We are talking to teachers, and there's lots of components that need to be included in each district's teacher evaluation. Probably the one that is of greatest concern is the state right now is saying that teachers should be evaluated based on the outcomes of students and the students' grades. So we're really looking at that so that we can be fair in that that area. From Salt Lake City, I went up to the superintendent's conference up in Fairbanks. And up there, the superintendents talked with Commissioner Hanley, and we asked him about that component of the teacher evaluation. And he said possibly that part will be put on hold for an additional year so that we don't need to be as worried about it for this year or this next year. So the jury's still out on that component, but we're still working, the administration and the teachers, just really trying to come up with something that makes sense for Petersburg schools. You know, some school districts have been working on this for 3 years. We do a pretty good job in Petersburg, and so we just need to make up an instrument that meets the mandates but makes sense for us. And we still need to keep our priority on instruction, not just evaluation. I always say the instruction needs to be the dog, the evaluation needs to be the tail. So that's with that. The other
thing, I have one question about that.
Sure.
Is it students' grades or students' tests? The state test score, students' test scores.
It's really the test scores. Each grade needs to have 2 to 4 measures that would measure student growth.
Okay. But it's not their grades, say, that the teacher gives
right.
them.
Okay. Right. It isn't.
I mean, I didn't think so, but I just wanted to be clarified.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It would be the test scores. And as most of us know, of course, we don't have the high school qualifying exam anymore since the legislature did away with that. So our whole assessment of students is changing. So we will now have like an AMP test, it's called, and that's going to be different than the SBA testing that we did in the past. So it's going to be very difficult for the state to really implement using student test scores to evaluate a teacher because we're changing the evaluation process on students as well. So but that's what we're doing there. It'll be a collaborative effort between the teachers and the administration to just come up with something that works for Petersburg. So on another note, we had 2 music concerts this last week. There was the high school concert, and then the next night was the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade concert. They were absolutely over the top. This is the best music program I have ever seen in a school district. Very, very moving, and we should be very proud of those music students. We're proud of all students, but since there were the concerts this week.
And specifically Mr. Lenhard.
Yes, and we have the most amount of students going to honor choir and honor band than we've ever had. So that says a lot for our program. And that's all that I have.
Okay, any
Thanks.
Questions? Questions, Sarah?
No.
Okay. Maintenance report, Dan Tate.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I thought I'd start you out with a snapshot. I passed out a quick little graph of what's been going on with the elementary school. I have to make a quick disclaimer. I did not have the opportunity to really get down and pull out some of the bills and actually verify these numbers. I had to do it pretty quickly on the fly with the help of Mike Cottrell, who's my administrative assistant. but what you're going to find, the very top of your chart is electricity costs for Ray C. Steadman Elementary School.
Sarah, can you hear that?
In and out.
Okay, what it is the chart he has in front of it, us that's
in a little bit louder or just the volume?
Or maybe he could move a little closer with the mic. But it's electricity costs for the elementary school and the fuel costs for the elementary school. But I don't think you have a copy of it.
She should.
Oh, okay. Megan's sending you one. You should have one at any moment.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyways, showing figures for August of 2013 for electricity use at the elementary school and then for August of 2014. And already we see a 25% reduction in cost if these numbers are correct. And I find that actually fairly significant because the contractor was still in the building in August and they were running power saws and all other forms of high energy use. So I would suspect that our actual use as a district was quite a bit lower. Again, it's just a quick snapshot. It's only 1 month. Still trying to establish a baseline, and we'll keep looking at it in the future. On the bottom is the one I'd really like to go back and grab the bills for because it shows that in September of 2013, just from the data that I had available, that our monetary cost for fuel was $5,150 just for the elementary school in the month. And I did have the opportunity to quickly look back at July and June, and those numbers were comparable for summer. And then so far, the only bills that we have entered is for $675, and we believe we have all the bills in at this time. Perhaps there's a bill out there that we haven't come across our desk yet. But, you know, you're looking at only one-sixth the cost in fuel. And the only thing that I can say to correlate all this is that the boilers do not seem to be running that much, and I think I said that at the last meeting. And it's plenty warm in the elementary school, I think Erica will agree. So I think we're well on our way to some major energy savings, and we'll continue to keep mapping this out month by month. And by the end of next year, we're really going to know where we're at. But it's looking good so far.
And kudos to all those that pushed so hard to have that renovation happen.
I'm going to agree with Dr. Stroh. It's been a very busy and a very quick month in my eyes as well. We sent Rams off to boiler training school the first week of June, and he was off in Denver. When his first day came back, I made sure that we got right into a boiler room and we took apart two of the elementary school boilers and he did a fireside cleaning and did some adjustments to the nozzles and things like that. And then I had him do safety checks with my help on all four of our school boilers just to reinforce all that good knowledge that he got in training. And I was pleased to say he had some really pertinent questions and he actually reminded me of some things that I hadn't really thought of in quite a while. So it was very, very good to have him go to that training and come back very well prepared. I then immediately put him right to work preparing ourselves for winter, as I promised in the last maintenance report that I gave you. We have our plows ready. Our salt is ordered, has actually arrived. We put that away on Friday, and we have our shovels ready to go. I'd like to give a special thanks out to my custodians, Dan, Brian, and Vicky. For the last 3 weeks, a couple hours each day, they've been out in the grounds raking up those leaves so Rans and I could, you know, tend to other things that are more important to the district, like our boilers and things like that. And they've done a nice job of keeping that nice and clean and safe for everyone. Myself, for this month, I was kept pretty busy when Rans was off at boiler school. We had our first cold snap right around that time, and as predicted, there were a couple parts of the district that were cold. And I was running around the school tracing those cold spots away, and I think I got pretty much all of them, although I haven't spoke to Rick yet. Do you still have that cold spot above your desk?
I'm not sure. I've been out for a
couple days. Okay. Get back to me on that one. But I also did some boiler maintenance in the middle school. I did the fireside cleaning there myself, and I think my hands are still dirty from it. And I installed new LED task lighting in the high school library for Ms. Cotta. I hope she enjoys that. And all in all, kept as busy as I could while Rans was away, and it was kind of enjoyable to turn some wrenches for once in a while. I find myself sitting at a desk a lot of the time these days. I also assisted Carly Wells and the superintendent in finding some supplemental refrigeration units, which you'll be talking about later in the meeting tonight. And I also helped Dr. Stroh prepare for the borough meeting, for the borough assembly meeting on the CIP applications that we had put out to the Department of Education.
Well, I understand you went to the meeting too.
I went along and just gave a quick spiel, but Carly Wells really stole the show that night.
She did.
Or that afternoon.
She did.
She did a wonderful job. Most notably, though, this month for me, I got to go to the Association of Alaska School Boards Maintenance Directors Conference up in Alaska. I was up there for a better part of the week. Our insurance company, APEI, provided a travel grant and covered the majority of the cost. Did Sarah say something?
No, I think there's a background to her.
Okay. Major topics included CIP applications and preventive maintenance, safety and loss prevention, energy use and conservation. There were essentially about three speakers on each topic. They range from Wayne Markey of the Department of Education talking to us about preventive maintenance and the CIP application. And what I did not know is that by state statute, the school board is actually responsible to ensure that a preventive maintenance program occurs in each district. So I wanted to assure you that I am the custodian of that program, and we have a good program, and it is in place, and not to worry. I would give myself a B to a B-plus on our program, though, and the reason I do that is because of the age of our facilities and probably the time and manpower for the square footage that we have. We run a pretty thin program with just the two of us, but I think we do a pretty good job. We don't defer too much, and when we do defer it, we do get to it eventually. I've heard from some districts where they have to send out one maintenance person to six villages, and they might see their maintenance guy once or twice a year, and that's it. And then, of course, there was one or two that said that they get to everything every 30 days, and I scratched my head over that. I don't know how anyone can accomplish that, but it must be a pretty big district. The reps, we had some representatives from the Denali Commission, UAF, Alaska Village Electric Co-op, excuse me, who spoke to us about energy-saving measures, and grant assistance, and formation of regional maintenance cooperatives for school districts. But what I really liked about those programs was the networking that took place. It was open forum. Other directors of maintenance could speak up on what energy-saving measures they had done, and then I was able to, you know, cluing them in on some of the things that we've done, and when it comes time for us to make decisions in the future about certain projects that we'd like to do, I now have some people to go to, and we won't have to reinvent the wheel. I can make some phone calls, and I found that to be very valuable, so I really appreciate the opportunity to get to go to those.
Great. Well, I think one of the most beneficial things of many of those meetings is the connections that you make with other people that are doing similar things, that then you can give that phone call or nowadays email or whatever and connect up.
I agree. I'm really looking forward to making use of that in the future. And then finally, APEI, the insurance company itself, spoke to us about loss prevention through environmental design. That was kind of a hard one for me to say. And that really comes down to is where can people lurk on your property at night and things like that? Where are the shadows at? And what can you do to, you know, perhaps maybe move a bush or two or, you know, make sure your lighting is appropriate in the right spots. And one interesting thing that they talked about is some school districts found that if they turned out their lights at like 10 o'clock at night, we're talking the street lights, the lights around the doors, that in some districts their crime went down, actually. And they found that people were easier to spot because they were moving around with flashlights or lights on their cell phone or something like that. It's food for thought, and we'll probably be discussing in the future whether we want to. We currently have our lights on 24 hours a day, but it is a cost that we bear. And we might want to modify that. And I'll be bringing those proposals to Dr. Strone. Perhaps, if they're worthy, they'll come to you in the future. We also talked about distracted driving and playgrounds and safety standards that go along with those. I joked with both Erica and Dr. Stero separately. When you come away from these conferences, you come back with a real critical eye, and where you thought that you were doing pretty good or at least satisfactory, now you're starting to scratch your head a little bit. And so, as I mentioned, I'll be bringing my ideas forth to the administration team and to Dr. Stero, and perhaps some of these things will filter to you in the future.
Good. Any questions? Thank you. Sounds like you made
great.
Very good use of your time, and
we appreciate
you going.
Thanks for allowing me to go.
Okay, principal's report. Rick Dormer, High school, middle school.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Okay. To second what Dr. Stero said, there were a couple great concerts, and I really enjoyed them. For, you know, small concerts are great, and Mr. Lenhart does such a great job. And just to see those kids, what they're performing, and so many different groups, and he's just had them for, I mean, it's less than 2 months, you know, had them going. So it's pretty cool. Just congratulations to the program, the students, of course, and I've just written something new to post on the website, but just a congratulations or an applaud or whatever to the community. They were really well attended, and it's so neat. Obviously, it's more than just us parents, you know, sitting there watching my kids. Hope they didn't squeak, you know. I mean, there's just community members that come out. You know, some are grandparents, but some aren't. They just come out because it's good music, which is great, but also just really support our kids and our schools. You could probably say the same thing. I wasn't here, but I heard from Jamie that the wrestling matches were really well attended. But again, you know, not just all parents. I love that community.
And I didn't say anything about the wrestling, see?
No, you didn't. Yeah, but, and then Jamie will talk quite a bit about it, I'm sure. But it's so cool just as the community comes out and really packs the stands for our kids, which I love. That's neat. Talking about our kids, the Mitkoff Middle School is, as we've wrapped up the quarter grading here around Halloween, we will have our fun afternoon on the 24th because of the in-service days. We couldn't wait all the way until the actual end of the quarter grading because of that. But we do a fun afternoon. The teachers adjust the schedule in the middle school, and the kids will go to their cores, those four base classes with science and social studies and math and language arts. And then they kick out a little of the electives and give them some time for about an hour and a half or so just so they can kind of celebrate and do some fun things. So it's a fun afternoon and great for the middle school kids who've worked hard for the first quarter of the year. And certainly if there were kids that did not work as hard as they could have, there's a great opportunity for makeup time there. So it's a win-win from our point of view. So that's fun, and then they'll do an activity night, and that's open to everybody, no matter their status in the class, just to celebrate as a student stuff. They do it four times a year, so that's on the night of October 29th, 6 to 8 p.m., and that's just for the middle school kids. High school kids listening, you can't go. Just for the middle school kids. And that's fun. Now, most of the teachers show up and play basketball and dance and that kind of stuff, so it's nice. We are preparing, as I said, with that upcoming in-service, and Eric will probably say a little bit for the elementary building there, but those that Thursday, Friday, again, is no school in a full week there, right before Halloween, and we have in-service days. We're bringing over and up Brett Ginsburg of, is it Eagle Technologies? Is that what it sounds right? Eagle Technologies, and he's our smart board guru. He came when I first got here. He's impressive. If again, any of the board members, you really should actually pop in and see a little bit. He really is an impressive presenter. He's high energy, and he's a big guy, and he throws candy, and, I mean, he's really something. But the great part is that he goes and the staff really learns quite a bit, and it's such a great plan. I appreciate John's support and the administrative and Dr. Stroh, of course, just supporting the money here because we've made investment in these smart boards, and the idea is we don't want them to be equivalent to this projector screen, but really they have quite a lot of capability, and we want to use it. So he's a great presenter. He's going to be here, and it's a great schedule that John and Eric and I and some input from Dr. Stroh and some other teachers to try to get it so that we have some teachers that weren't here last time was here, and we have some teachers that were here, and so obviously we're not an even playing field. So it's a great schedule. We've come up, and Karen's been working with us with subs, so it's a good plan to kind of bring up our newer teachers, and then when everybody's level, to kind of hit them with more Brett and get them even doing more and more smart board stuff. So that's coming
on both days. I mean, that's the primary training that's going to be happening on the 30th and 31st.
Smart board training. There'll be there's a rotation there, so there will be some time for staff also to work on curriculum amongst themselves, and we've split it up into some curriculum groups so they can do that. And then there's some of the teachers that missed it last time will do some part day or some full day work with subs and be able to work with Brett while we get them some subs, because he's coming early to help everybody get caught up, if that makes sense. It's a pretty cool little schedule. And then I think he's even here a little bit on Saturday and has offered to work. He comes and he just really likes to go at it, and that'll be an optional day for staff. We're not requiring anyone to come in on Saturday, but we're encouraging them to get more information. So that'd be great. Just waiting for a dirty phone call when I got home. There were, yeah. It's great. Again, it's just great. He's just a great presenter. Last Wednesday, we gave the PSAT, and I just want to say thanks to Rachel Etcher. Mike Cottrell helps proctor it. The custodial staff did such a great job. Over 52, and I told them, and we did it, and we put them all in the library, and we completely took it apart, and we had just a full library of kids testing, so just excited to see so many kids are taking college and career readiness seriously. And it's a voluntary test. It's not required, but so many of those sophomores, a couple juniors in there, took the PSAT, so it's great. It's good to see our kids pushing themselves that hard and going. And finally, and Eric is going to join me. We're going to talk about the principals' conference. We just returned today off the jet. You come up here now, because we're going to overlap. We went a day early. Well, you were up there for the health conference. We went early. There was the session on Saturday was an optional about we started with the ASPE scores and kind of talked through the ASPE, which is pretty exciting. Again, 2 4s and a 5, which is really great. And it was nice to be in there to listen, if we can brag a little bit, just how many of them were upset because, we're trying to get kids to school and we're never going to get the 4, or I'm trying and we're never going to get the 5 because our kids don't test high enough. And, that's Eric and I want to say, we got the 5, we got the 4s. We're just so really proud. Again, not of us, but what our students achieved through the test scores, parents getting kids to school every day. I mean, there are a couple really high criteria to get up to those upper echelons, and we did it. So that was a fun part of it. But also some talk about how those change and, as the testing changed, obviously the testing was part of the ASPE, so that's going to change, and there's a lot of information there. We don't need to go into all of it tonight.
Yeah, they were giving quite a bit of information about because of the new AMP assessment, that they've made some determinations that they're probably going to hold districts harmless, in a sense, next year, because you can't compare the SBA scores, the former assessments, apples and oranges. So there's not really a way that they can do that. So I think they're really just going to hold districts harmless with their star rating, which seems fair.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll still get the data so we can see what it kind of is, but they're not going to tackle that. Yeah. The second half of that afternoon was on, as Dr. Stroh was talking about, some of these student learning objectives, and one of the principals laughed and said, well, we were calling them SLOs, but then some people were calling them SOLs, and that's not what we want to call them. So I liked a student growth measure as opposed to an SLO, the student growth, and we heard student growth earlier, so we don't want to get confused there and have people slip up. So student growth measures is a good way to say it, and that's when the principal said. In my district, I think it was a big district like Kenai or somebody, said, we're going to call them student growth, and that really is what we're going to be measuring here. And again, it's not this year, and we're working on it there. But it was a really great session because I think so many people were wondering what this was going to look like.
Right.
And what it would look like for teachers. It was really great because they gave us fake school data. There was an elementary group and a secondary group, and kind of said, how would you make a growth measure for this class? It was a Spanish 2 class, too, which we appreciate. It wasn't a math or English that are pretty heavy. So
it was helpful.
It was really helpful.
There were good tools, and I do think the state is doing a good job of trying to get those tools to principals, to teachers, to parents. They're really trying to help put toolkits and information together for us to do the work, but then also to get, good information to families and students, too, so that, because it's going to be a big change. It'll be big, the new assessment. And then lots of training then also throughout the weekend on what the online assessment will actually look like. And they have worked through a lot of the bugs and the glitches.
Mm-hmm.
Last year they were having a whole lot of issues with just the interface itself, and they have worked through those glitches. So actually as of yesterday, John has it installed and ready to go, on the machines now. So we can start doing practice tests with the students, and those are all ready to go too. They're available as of September. So we can start teaching the kids how to use the assessments, because it's going to be a whole learning curve just for that. Lots of different tools for
it. Yeah, one of the sessions they pulled up is called Kite, is the actual testing system. It looks good. I was actually probably pleasantly surprised. But we're just realizing that, the interface itself isn't so tricky, but then the tools, the kids would be able to highlight those type of tools that you'd use during a test. You certainly don't want the kids to discover that during the testing time. So now we're talking about training teachers so they can train kids with the new test format. So it's again, a learning curve and more work, and we'll get to it and do a good job.
We will.
And then just some time with Commissioner Henley, which is great.
The new student growth measures will be done online. That's an online assessment. It's not.
That's separate. The student growth measures are what we as districts will come up with. That's part of the teacher evaluation piece.
Yep.
So they led us through a process of how we could look at data that we currently collect regarding student progress, and then also looking at data that we could do a better job, perhaps, of tracking, especially in areas like science, for example, or social studies, some of those other areas that are not typically measured by a regular standard assessment. So they led us through a process of what that might look like, just for a science teacher. How would you even figure out how to really measure growth of a student from the beginning of the year to the end of the year? Qualitatively, how would that really look? So we have a lot of work to do, and that's the piece that they did share, that Lisa shared, and they shared with us as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is a ton of work, especially for smaller districts that don't have whole departments designed to write SMOs, SLOs, SGA, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We're that department. We're our teachers and us, we're that department. So that takes more time.
Which is really I'm kind of unfortunate, because I feel like we have been asking a lot of our teachers. And they have been doing, and our administrators, and you have all been doing a great deal. And that's really too bad we're having to put additional load on
people. It was
helpful,
though, to hear that they really are not looking, because it was July of 2015, that was all supposed to be done.
Okay.
I mean, done, ready to go, turned in, every grade level, every subject area.
It's teacher evaluation.
Everything.
Uh-huh. Piloting,
and
ready.
And it's really not going to happen.
It
isn't going to. It can't.
Okay.
It's just not possible.
And that's from the commissioner, told the superintendents.
Right.
Talk with the principal.
They want us to keep moving forward and keep working.
Yes, of course.
don't go, okay, well, now it's another year out or whatever. But, to keep moving forward with it and keep figuring out how we're going to find that time for our teachers and us to do that work, but not to say July 1st, 2015,
right.
Which is...
Yeah. Right. But they haven't actually said we don't have
to.
That's
right.
True. You're
They're
right.
They're saying we're just, they still are dangling that carrot so
they
that
are.
We can
they
keep
are.
Moving
Yeah,
forward.
They want us to keep
yeah.
moving. So,
yeah.
right.
so it
yeah.
does take a little bit of that pressure, though, also just to know when you are with other districts that, you know, we're not alone. I mean, you know, the people are all working really hard, but there are very few who
yeah.
are totally done with that process. It's just a fact.
And just so many questions really unanswered about the process that the state hasn't
yes.
said. So it was good to get some insight because we will go forward, as you know, under Dr. Shaw's leadership, and eventually we want to start piloting as well, you know, start using it where the teachers are experiencing it, but, I, you know, it's not part of their actual evaluation yet, but eventually it will come to a head because the state will require it of us. But then that second piece, what is going to happen this spring will be a new testing, though, and that is going to happen. It'll
okay,
be online.
And, that,
and that's
what was the online
amp.
Portion?
That's separate.
The amp with the kite window and all this stuff that we're going to, and that is going to happen this spring in late March, early April. For three through
that
third
replaces
through 10th
the SBAs.
Yes.
Okay, and that's a test that the students will have to take online.
Yep. Third through 10th grade.
Yep.
Third.
Yep.
Okay.
Just like the SBAs.
Okay.
Yep. In April, so that it's just a new interface because it's online, and then it's testing over the new English language arts and
mm-hmm.
math.
Mm-hmm. Which, of course, sounds a little scarier to me than it does to any of our students, because our students are very used to doing everything online, and it
yeah.
doesn't bother them one bit.
Yeah. Erica, you're saying there's an option you can do it on iPads, so they're saying we even now we're the big discussion is which, you know, which we use, trying to think which is the student more comfortable with. So lots of decisions to make as a district, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But they have worked a lot of the tech glitches out, which is
mm-hmm.
very good to
yeah,
know, because that was
good.
A kind of a big mess last
mm-hmm.
spring when we had volunteered
mm-hmm.
to pilot last spring the online, and it never even was possible.
Yeah,
so
they just said we can't
so
even do it.
It's good,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
Working.
And the AMP test stands for Annual Measures of Progress.
Yes.
Isn't it
mm-hmm.
AMP?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, sounds good.
Okay.
That's me, Principal's Conference. I'll get away. Let Erica, if you have any questions for me.
Okay.
Okay, Erica.
So, good. We got rid of all those things on that list. And I guess I do just want to really acknowledge and recognize, as we've talked about, the work that and I'm speaking for my staff, but it is our district staff, but my staff has really had a lot on their plates this fall with two huge adoptions with reading, language arts, and math, and two huge adoptions with all new materials and resources as well. So they're amazing. It's nothing new. They're amazing. That's what I have to say about that. So we're going to work through all these other things that we have to do and try to keep it all in perspective so that we don't flip our lids,
mm-hmm.
which is something that I learned last week at the Wellness Institute. A whole thing about how to talk to kids about how their brains work and how to show them where their amygdala is and what that looks like. Anyway, it was great. So, we're going to be teaching everybody all about that. There is a little bit of lid flipping that does go on by kids and adults, you know, because there's just a lot going on. So, anyway, that was a great conference. We had a huge team of people. I really want to recognize Ginger Evans' work as the Healthy Living Grant Coordinator. She did a great job organizing. There were eight of us there. We were just like this big pack, you know, coming into the institute, and it was great. Really nice to have nice representation across the district with high school, middle school, and elementary, and really great information up there. A lot of new research out about trauma-informed schools, as we do have more and more children coming into our system, dealing with lots of kinds of trauma. There's a whole kind of movement out there about ways to really approach education of children that are coming from those kinds of situations, and we do have lots of them and more all the time. So that was really great information, and I'm hoping to share that with staff as well. As Rick mentioned, we are coming up on in-service next week, and I won't go into any more details about that. We are really looking forward to it, though. It's always great training. We have Red Ribbon Week activities coming up. It's a short week, but we like to try to do that right before Halloween. It's a fun thing for us to do, recognizing and teaching the kids about drug awareness and prevention, and having some fun doing it too. It's kind of our way of getting a little dressing up in there before Halloween too, so showing a little bit of spirit around the school. So we're looking forward to that. And then just to also recognize, I'd like to try to recognize all the adults who are doing so many things, but Girls on the Run is underway at the elementary this fall again. I want to thank Joyce Burke-Biggs for coordinating that, and also to our volunteer coaches, Dan Sullivan, who was in here, but, oh, there he is, right there. Dan's one of our Girls on the Run coaches. He went up for training this summer. Katie Baird is also one of our second-year coaches, and Marquetta Eath, and... That's it, Stephanie and Carly. Carly Wells went, that's right. I was trying to think of all the school people that went for training. So our PI group does support that activity, as well as the Healthy Living Grant. So Ginger's been real involved in that too. So it's great to have a nice big pool of people who are trained. Once you're trained, you don't have to go back for training. So if you have, you know, 10 or 15 people in the community, you can keep it going depending on who's available, you know, during the year. So we have about 9 girls involved this year, 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. So we're excited about that. And I think that's all that I need to say. I'm really glad to be home.
We're glad to have you.
7 days of training is enough.
Okay, Activities Director Jamie Cabral.
Another boring week. Again, bored. For those of you that are trying to watch the Honor Choir concert, they've had some glitches tonight, apparently. A tree branch fell on an electrical line. They lost power in the auditorium at Thunder Mountain, so they are going to, in the next couple of days, put an uninterrupted video on jdhsvideo.org. So I've been texting Matt, and he said they did really good, and the band is on right now. The choir did really well, and electricity came back on. So they're going to put a video on there later. But we were able to host that last year, and it was one of my most favorite region events to put on, and I think some of you got to go to that, and just an amazing week with all the band directors coming around from Southeast, and really, really neat. And this year was their first year they're trying to, they had a string section, so the first year that they're trying to do strings as part of the concert too. So I think we had 17 students from the high school that received the honors that were able to go, and out of those 17, I will find that number. We have All-State students that also qualified for the All-State Music. I think we had six All-States.
Six.
Yeah.
I think six.
Yeah, that made All-State. So they'll be heading up to Anchorage November 2021 for the All-State Music event over at Chugiak and West and all of that. So pretty neat, and kudos to all those students who are multi-activity students sometimes, so they're balancing about 3 different activities going on right now too. So kudos to them for doing all that, and to Mr. Lenhard, what a fantastic program he's put together.
Well, 6 All-State, that's almost a record, isn't it?
I think it's the most he's had. Yes. Yeah. It's a lot in there too. So
he's had 5 one year.
He's had 5 one year.
And now we have 6 and then an alternate too, don't we?
Yes. Yeah, okay. 6 and an alternate too. So yeah, pretty neat.
Good job.
Pretty neat. Very cool. So that's going on in Juneau. I guess they got weather just like us. And our wrestlers had to deal with that this past weekend. Had over 150 wrestlers total here this weekend. Something new that the 4A's are actually wrestling with us this year. So Thunder Mountain, Ketchikan, and Juneau Douglas are wrestling with the 1A, 2A, 3A's this year. Is kind of a one-year trial just because the 4A wrestling was kind of dying off in Southeast, because only those 3 schools are going at the, during their season, while the 1, 2, 3A's are done. So kind of an experimental year. Ketchikan ended up bringing 32 wrestlers. We had a special visit from Kotzebue High School. They flew down, and it was quite a tournament. if you were able to get up there, it was one of the best competitive tournaments that I've seen in a very long time. Granted, we didn't get out of there till I think the last match finished at 10:30 Saturday night, but every match was entertaining and went 3 periods and just some amazing matches. It was fun. So thank you to Cheryl File, actually. She's not here, but had a fantastic hospitality room for all the coaches, and all the coaches were fed very well, even though the wrestlers couldn't eat too much to make weight. But the coaches ate well. And thank you to Dr. Stroll for hanging out till midnight on Saturday night, helping out with the tournament until 10:45. Carly Wells for cooking meals for all the teams. She made a fantastic batch of chicken and rice soup because the wrestlers are watching there what they eat, and they came over in full force Friday night. I think we had about 60 to 70 kids that we fed that night, and was great. To Coach Van Sorengen and Rob Schwartz, thanks to them too for putting on quite the event. Di Thane from Craig, I need to give her a huge thank you as well. She is kind of the guru of our software program that the state moved to about 2 years ago, and putting that software program together for 160 wrestlers and 19 wrestlers in certain weight classes and having six different brackets of weight classes, it's quite cumbersome. So putting that together is always stressful, but once we start wrestling, it's good. We're golden. But they are heading off to Juneau. Sitka wrestling and volleyball, JV volleyball, is on the ferry tonight at 11:45 p.m. They're heading over to Sitka and Juneau, respectively. So a lot of activities going on right now. Middle school basketball, boys and girls, middle school cheer, high school wrestling, high school volleyball, high school swimming going on right now. We're hosting the Region 5 Swimming Championships October 31st and November 1st, so bring your kids trick-or-treating at the pool, hopefully. We will be there. We have about 90 swimmers coming into town that weekend from Metlakatla, Craig, Thunder Mountain, Juneau Douglas, Ketchikan, and our kids. So should be very entertaining, and the battle between our boys team and Thunder Mountain boys team has been 1 to 2 points every single weekend between both of them. So it is going to be quite entertaining with the boys section too, and our girls are doing fantastic. And thanks to Coach Carlisle, Coach Roden for doing that. Volleyball will be heading off to regions the first weekend in November, the weekend after that, going down to Ketchikan for their region. So a lot of the fall sports kind of ending here shortly, and then we'll get right into winter with basketball and cheer and middle school wrestling coming up after that too. So just another weekend there. And that's it. Any questions?
And thanks to Jamie too.
Oh, I didn't do anything.
He just is like that ever-ready battery. that rabbit, yeah.
It's fine. Keeps us going.
He's good.
Keeps us young, yes.
And you are the volleyball.
I do that on the side. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's going good. The girls are doing well. I'll talk about them too. They did a nice job over at the Jive tournament in Juneau. Had a fantastic weekend. Ended up beating West Anchorage. Did well in our pool. Our pool was one of the toughest, and the 3A's represented well. Edgecombe Sitka and us are battling each other, so it's pretty fun. Edgecombe's scary, but we're catching up to them. So, yeah. Any other questions? None?
Good. Thank you very, very much.
Yes.
We appreciate all you do. All righty. Upcoming dates and media announcements. Oh, no. I must know. Karen, are you on the agenda someplace else? You're not on the agenda here? Are you planning to be on the agenda here?
For administrative reports?
Yeah. Okay, because sometimes you are. I just don't want to overlook you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's just business as usual.
Okay. Things are going smoothly, I'm hoping. I'm sure. Okay, upcoming dates and meeting announcements. October 30th and 31st, as I just said, is staff in service. No school, district-wide. November 6th through 9th is the Alaska Association of School Boards annual conference in Anchorage. And most of the board is going to be able to attend that. So that's wonderful. Actually, I think I'm the only board member that's not going. So, and then November 11th, we're getting ready for the next board meeting. So we're going to set the board agenda in the district office, and it will be the president and somebody else. So we need to do a time or figure that out. Who would like to set the board agenda in November?
I can come if you do it on Friday.
Sharon, what day are we doing it?
Well, we can't because y'all are going to be up for the conference.
Oh.
Y'all.
So I put it on Tuesday because some of y'all are not going to be back for Monday.
Hmm. Well,
okay,
so we're
Jean, we could do it all by ourselves.
Well, that has happened before. But, okay, Tuesday the 11th, set board agenda.
I'll be around. I'm happy to do it.
Okay, I don't know what day you get back. Do you get back on Monday or Tuesday?
I'm coming back on Monday.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you'd be back on Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah.
Sarah, I don't hear you screaming saying you want to do it.
Well, Tuesdays are when it would require a babysitter. So unless I can do it by email, I'd rather not pay a babysitter to come in for an hour meeting.
Sounds good to me. Okay, Megan will have her pay for the babysitter. or she can drop her off at your house anyway.
So I can certainly do it by that way. I mean, I know we've done set agendas when you weren't available, Jean, a couple different times when we did it by email, and that seemed to work as well, too.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it's one way to do it. Yep. Right now we have myself and Megan down, but that's up for, it's flexible. Okay, and then Campus Connection, which is November 18th, which is the Tuesday of our regular board meeting at 12:30. Who would like to do that?
I can go ahead and try and get someone for half an hour. That would work. And come in.
Okay, we have one.
I can't. I've got to work, sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Well, I could do it. So why don't we say Sarah and Jean?
Okay.
And then the FY14 audit presentation. We don't have a date for that yet, probably. We don't probably know exactly, Karen, when the audit's going to be back, or is it back yet?
The draft has been reviewed, and they were going to submit it for publishing, and so we should have it back probably in the next week or two. And I just didn't know if we wanted to try and do it at the next board meeting. I never heard back from the auditors on when it's due to the state. So the only thing is, if it's due to the state by before our board meeting, we probably have to do a special meeting for it.
So do you know when it's due to the state?
I haven't heard back from the auditors.
Okay.
I couldn't find it on the website, the state website. I know.
Well, I know oftentimes we do it separate from the board meetings,
right.
But our board meetings have really been relatively short, so it really would not, it might be, might work to try to do it on the 18th rather than try to have an additional board meeting just for that. We're also talking about trying to have another board training sometime after everybody comes back from the thing in November, because we're looking at trying to get Timmy Tullis down here in January. But we also thought then in January we're having the superintendent evaluation, and that we're going to tie in somewhat with Timmy's visit, because that's part of what AASB does as their follow-up for when they're the people that work as your hiring team to hire the new superintendent. So they're set up to do some of that evaluation process. So we're thinking we'd do that when she came in January. So the thought was that in November, if we could fit in something, or the first part of December, some type of a smaller training that we would just do ourselves, that, because I think when you come back from Anchorage, you will have some questions, and that might be an appropriate time to try to put in a work session, rather than trying to do the audit, trying to do that, and do the audit as part of our school board meeting. Because it didn't last time, the audits don't take very long. Hopefully we will do it on the 18th. If that doesn't work, let us know.
Let's plan for that, and then if it turns out that the report needs to be sent to the state prior to that, then we'll figure out when we're going to do it.
Okay, and Sharon, maybe you could work with the board members via email to set up a date for the next meeting. I mean, I don't know what works for anybody sitting here. I'm
date
pretty
for a work session?
For a work session. And then work sessions are also advertised 3 days in advance, just like regular board meetings are.
And how long do we allow for? A couple hours? Or?
I was thinking a couple hours.
Okay. Right after we get back from.
So, what's the timeline that I'm going to
work? The time deadline is anytime after they get back from the AASB conference,
okay.
Prior to Christmas. I mean, it's kind of a broad timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like the closer to November, I'd prefer to do it in November.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That we have these new board members, and unfortunately we haven't really offered them much training. They're just kind of flying by the seat of their pants. And they also do some
great,
very good trainings in Anchorage, so that'll be helpful. But Alrighty. Old business. AASB annual conference is November 6th to 9th in Anchorage, and I believe both Jay and Megan are planning to attend, and Sarah and Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Know if there's any. Okay. I'm not sure there's any real thing to discuss about that at this point.
No, the travel arrangements have all been made.
Thank you.
Your paperwork. And they should, accounting should have a little per diem check for you and all your information in a little packet.
I can't hear Sharon at all. I don't know if I need to.
Karen will have your information and your per diem check and everything in a little packet.
Okay, I didn't know if it was something else. Okay.
No, that's what it was. So.
Okay.
Just so you know. Okay. Then the next item on the agenda is AASB on-site training opportunities, and this is what we're looking at in January. What were the dates you guys were just discussing?
Okay, I talked with Kimmy Tullis, and she can come any day the last week in January. So we have Monday the 26th, or Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Thursday is the 29th. What we were thinking is if she came in on that noon flight, and then if we did a training, just a four-hour training from 5 until 9 that night, and then she would leave the next day on that noon flight. And we thought that might be about the only way that we can get everybody together, is just to do a one evening instead of a Friday or a Saturday all day. So that was the earliest that she was available.
I think that would work. A 5 to 9 would probably work for us. I mean, I don't know if Jay's off at 5 or...
Close.
Okay. He can come charging in and we can have a sandwich for you.
Right. Sounds good.
Right. And, of course, we'll have dinner and things, just a working dinner. So, is there a day that's better?
That week works for me so far, so...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm open, too. So if we get it scheduled, it's far enough away that we can walk it out.
Okay.
January, what are the dates again?
Either Monday the 26th, Tuesday the 27th, Wednesday the 28th, or Thursday the 29th.
Okay. Is there a particular day right now for any the three board members that are here, of if any of those days are better, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
I'm fine with any of them.
I don't have any differences right now. So.
Okay. And on the 30th, that we go into homecoming for basketball. I don't know if that affects anybody, you know, on that 29th there or not. But
Tuesday might be better for me if it matters. But I'm still flexible. But if it's all in the air, then
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
why I asked the question, because I thought for some of us there might be one day that was a little better for whatever reason. So Tuesday is good for Megan. We'll work on that one.
Okay. I will talk with Timmy. Should we check with Cheryl? I can check with Cheryl before I check back with Timmy just to...
Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
All righty. Now, new business. Election of officers. Okay, the superintendent will conduct the election of the president. The president will then conduct the election of the vice president and the secretary-treasurer. Currently, I am the president. Sarah Holmgren is the vice president, and Cheryl File is the secretary-treasurer. And I know that at one point I had discussed retiring and getting off the board, but I've decided I'm not going to do that at this point. Well, at one point, before we became a borough, my term was really up in 2014. And so I think I was still mentally thinking it was done in 2014. But I drew the long straw or the short straw, depending on one looks at it. And my term is really not up until 2016. So I think I will carry on for at least another year. And I don't mind being president. I kind of enjoy it. So I wouldn't mind doing that again. And in discussion, Megan has expressed some interest in being vice president because she has some interest in being president, so at some point in the future. And Sarah, as I understand it from our conversations, you would be president if we forced you, but you would prefer Megan to be in training and take it over.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I guess so, Jean.
Well, you can always, if you decide you really want to be president, you guys can duke it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. It's one of those jobs that everybody really wants. I've noticed that. Okay, so I'll turn this over to the superintendent.
Okay, so I guess the way that we do this is I ask for nominations. We don't need a second on a nomination, and then we go ahead and vote on that. So I'm asking for nominations from the floor.
I'll nominate Gene Ellis.
Okay. Are there any other nominations?
This is just for president.
This is just for chair.
Can I second?
Okay. No, sorry, it doesn't require a second.
Okay,
so, no, that's great. Okay. And then do I have a motion to close the nominations? It says a motion to close the nominations requires a two-thirds vote. So
I will make a motion to close the nominations for the president, school board president.
Okay, so the...
I'll second that.
Okay, so Megan made the motion, and it's seconded by Jay. All those in favor, do we need to do a voice vote? Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries, and so... Jean Ellis, congratulations. You're the chair for another year.
Well, thank
Lucky
you.
Lucky you. That's awesome. That's great. You provide great leadership for us, and we really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Onward and upward. The nominations are now open for vice president. Would anybody like to nominate anyone for vice president?
I'll nominate Megan Litzer for vice president.
Okay, Megan Lister has been nominated for vice president. Do I hear any other nominations? So I make a motion to close the nominations. And actually, we could do it as close the nominations and cast unanimous ballot for the nominee. I believe we can make a motion of that type.
I'll second it.
Can I make a...
Sarah, would you like to make a motion? Are you
For Cheryl, I guess, Secretary Treasurer, if she's still interested.
No. We're still for the motion for Megan. I have Megan and Jay sitting here, so I wasn't sure who could make the motion.
I didn't think you had... Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes. Would you like to make a motion to nominate Megan?
For Vice President?
Yeah.
Sure. I thought Jay had, so that's why
He nominated her. I'm sorry, we need... we need the vote motion. He nominated her, and then we have to have...
Yes, I'll make the...
What I was going to do was ask you to make a motion to close the nominations and cast unanimous vote for Megan.
Okay. I make a motion to close the nominations and vote.
And cast unanimous vote for Megan Lister for vice president.
And... So we can't do this all once everybody's been nominated and do one vote? You each do it individually?
We do it each individually.
Okay.
It's only one more after this.
No, that's fine. I just was checking.
Okay.
So cast our votes unanimously for Megan Lister.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. All in favor of closing nominations and casting an unanimous vote for Megan Lister for vice president, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Okay. Now we're at Secretary Treasurer. And the advantage of keeping Cheryl as the Secretary Treasurer is that her name is on all the documents at the bank and everywhere else. And she's actually done a fine job. But that's also... And she's available for signatures frequently, which is also very helpful.
So I can nominate Cheryl File for Secretary Treasurer?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so we have a nomination of Cheryl File for Secretary Treasurer. Do we have a motion?
I'm not sure how to say this.
when do you want to try that?
Oh, can I nominate and motion?
I think so, but...
Okay. Then I will also make a motion to nominate Cheryl File for Secretary Treasurer and cast a unanimous vote.
To close the nomination?
Close the nomination for a...
To close the nominations and cast unanimous vote for Cheryl File for Secretary Treasurer.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
We need a script.
We do.
Close the nomination and cast a
unanimous vote
for Cheryl File, Secretary Treasurer.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Okay. Congratulations, Cheryl, even though you're not here. And Sarah, thank you for doing the vice president job this last year. I was actually gone quite a bit, and I was told that you did a fantastic job. I've heard really good things about the job that you did, so thank you very much. Holy righty. Board committee appointments is the next thing that's on the agenda, but because there's only the three of us here, we had thought we would continue to think about it until... And it's in your packet, and also there is a list of what... The one that's in your packet doesn't have anybody on any committees. There's also the one that's the current one, and I actually made some extra copies of it for people to help you if you want to look at what the... The thing is that several of the committees are filled by the people that are no longer on the board, John Bringhurst and Don Ware. And so we will be looking to get new people quite soon.
So you're tabling this to next meeting?
I'm sorry?
You're tabling this to next meeting?
Yes, please. Okay. Okay, resignation. This is just informational. The board recognizes Ed Herman's work as a custodian in our district, and his resignation has been accepted by our superintendent on behalf of the board. And we sincerely thank him for his service and wish him well in the future. Mm-hmm. His new job at the harbor, I believe.
Absolutely. He's okay. Security.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, the next thing is... BPH 142.3, restraint and seclusion. This is a policy that's before us because the legislature passed HB 210, which was a law last winter. That I have found the legislature loves to micromanage, and they do a really nice job of writing out the entire policy in law, which really does seem a little bit overachieving, but that's what they do. And so in order to be in compliance, we have a board policy in front of us that covers what is in the law and what we're required to do. And also just to let people know, we did the training. This Cindy Fry did some training at the beginning of the year. No, if Dr. Stroh could report on any of this,
right.
But we're up to speed of where we're supposed to be, even beyond covering putting this in place.
Right, absolutely. Cindy Fry, one of our teachers, awesome. She is a certified MAT trainer. She did a great training before school started for the certificated staff. We will do some additional training on the classified staff over our in-service days the end of October here. So we've been very proactive in our district. This board policy is right in line with what the state mandates. It is the AASB's recommendation for a board policy, and we're behind. I mean, we're way ahead of the ball game here on this, because basically this says that your staff is going to be trained in prevention, de-escalation, using restraint and seclusion is absolutely the last
course of action, and we've done a lot of training already. And we will continue to update that every year so that our staff stays current.
I noticed that on here that you had to be certified in order to restrain anybody. Do we have any certified staff now?
Well, she's a certified trainer, and it says that you need to be trained to be able to do this. So she trained them. And when we restrain a student, it's always standing up. You know, we don't take students down or anything like that. And I am not even aware that anyone's ever needed to be restrained in our district even.
Well, I can speak to the MANT trainer, Jill.
Right.
Component at the beginning that's really more of this relational training and about de-escalating, as Dr. Stroh said. So there's a whole 8 hours that's just dedicated to that piece, you know, because that's really the prevention piece, you know, the restraint piece is like, it's very much not recommended even
right.
with the training. It is absolutely just not. And that has actually changed over the years when it first.
Well, sorry about that. We should get her to stand up. Yep.
You know, I love that. Just feel like I want to sing. When Jill Wagner was first doing the training for that, you know, even 10, 12 years ago, restraint was actually just part of the basic sort of training, but it really is meant to only to be used as an absolute last resort, and there's way more focus on the prevention and the relational aspect. So there's 8 hours of that, and then there's 8 hours of the actual physical training. So I believe that the middle and high school certified staff did the first 8 hours.
Yes.
The certified teachers.
Yes, all of them did. I see what you're saying.
The first 8 hours.
Yeah, it did.
And then specific additional non-certified and special education staff did that next day of training.
We do have people that are certified.
Yes, and they actually do receive, they have to take a test, and they actually you actually have a certificate
okay.
at the end of it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But this is the one that makes the main focus is on de-escalation, and that's what we've been doing for years
yep.
anyway, so it's not really anything
yep.
new. It's just the legislature is now requiring
exactly.
that this happen.
We've been
this
ahead of the curve, like you're saying, for
right.
years with that, where districts have not really provided that sort of training.
Yep.
For staff, we've actually done it several times in the district at cost to the district because we've paid for teachers and aides to have that training. So.
And once again, I got the discussion ahead of the motion, and the motion is technically supposed to be made before the discussion.
Sorry.
So, no, it's my fault. In the so I would like a motion to approve BP 5142.3, restraint and seclusion at first reading.
Second that.
Actually, I need somebody else to make the motion. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's I think, recommended there.
Oh, okay. I will make a motion to BP 5142.3 restraint and seclusion.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion been made and seconded. Is there any more discussion? I don't actually think it's a really big problem to get them in backwards order, but I do tend to do it frequently.
no, it's fine.
All right. Is this a voice vote?
The second one has to be roll call, but this one doesn't.
Not the first one. Okay. Okay, the motion in front of us is to approve BP 5142.3, restraint and seclusion, at first reading. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Okay, this actually has two readings. At the next reading, we will have a public hearing, so if anybody has any input at that time.
Yeah, and if anybody wants a copy, it's over here.
Okay, there's more copies available in the room here. And they would always be available at the district office if someone wanted one. Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Now we're down to, I believe, grant awards. Attached is the list of the grant awards.
Right.
And the recommended motion. Maybe this time I will get the motion ahead of the... So, could I have the motion that's recommended there in your...
So,
Under 13.5.
Okay, I will make a motion to... We're motioning to accept them,
mm-hmm.
to accept the grant awards for 2014-2015.
I don't know if we have to read them, list them all off, Sharon?
Well, I probably should.
Well, I was going to talk about them.
Yeah. I'm just working on the motion right now.
Okay.
Actually, I would like the motion that, as it is written on your piece of paper there.
Okay,
let me see. Maybe you don't have that one.
I've got an extra agenda here.
I could get Jane to do it here.
So it's this right here.
Oh, okay. I'm looking for the attachment.
Ah, okay. Sorry.
Okay, sorry about that. So I will make a motion to accept the 2014-2015 grants for suicide awareness prevention and postvention, Healthy Living Grant, mm-hmm. Alaska Nutritional Foods, No Child Left Behind, NCLB Federal Funds, the Title 6B and Preschool, the Carl Perkins, and the Title 7 for a total of $574,238.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, motion been made and seconded. Now, we have a presentation on this subject.
Well, I don't know about a presentation, but I did want to talk about the different special revenue funds that we receive. So in the spring, when we come to the board and to the public, we talk about our operating budget, which is our general fund budget. Well, we also get $500,000 in special revenue funds. So while I'm working on the budget for the school year 14-15, there's a whole bunch of people in the school district and in the community that are working on our special revenue funds, and I would like to recognize them. So our suicide awareness prevention and postvention is for $27,714, and Mr. Dormer works on that along with Rachel Etcher and Kim Kilkenny from Petersburg Mental Health. Our healthy living grant is for $150,000, and Erica works on that, as well as Ginger Evans. Our Alaska Nutritional Foods is awarded by the Alaska Department of Commerce, so that's just if it gets funded in the budget, we get it. In the state budget, we get it, which is great.
Wasn't that one that Carly did too, or not?
We don't have to actually apply for it.
Okay.
We're just given those funds for the Alaska Nutritional Foods. The No Child Left Behind is our federal funds, that's the NCLB, that's our Title 1A, Title 1C, Title 2A, Migrant Book, and Migrant Summer. And that's Erica's project and the superintendent. I'd also like to recognize Carrie Curtis and Jill Lenhard for the hard work that they've done working on that application. And our Title 6B in our preschool is Bridget Whitstock. She works on that, and our funds for that is $135,706. Carl Perkins is our VocTech program, and Rick Dormer is the one who does all the application for that, and that's $15,000. And our Title 7 is written by the superintendent, Jamie Cabral, and Rachel Etcher, and that's for $30,387, for a total of special revenue funds of $574,238. And what's not on this, because we just received it yesterday, was the Combi Ovens. And Carly Wells is the one who gets most of the credit, 99% of the credit for that.
Yeah.
So, any questions?
Looks good. I think we've been doing quite well getting grants. I think Petersburg has been stepping forward and really applying for some grants. And like the Healthy Living Grant is something that's relatively new and that not all school districts get. And the suicide awareness prevention is something that not all school districts receive.
It's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, and I think it's important to recognize all the people that partake in getting these done. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Karen, and thank you for your hard work, too. We really appreciate it. Okay, we have a motion before us. Is there any more questions or comments? Motion before us is to flip back here so I know what I'm doing. All in favor of accepting the 2014-15 grants for Suicide Awareness Prevention and Postvention, Healthy Living Grant, Alaska Nutritional Foods, No Child Left Behind, NCLB Federal Funds, Title 6B and Preschool, Carl Perkins, and Title 7 for a total of $574,238. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is the refrigeration units.
Sure.
And Dr. Stroh, would you tell us about this?
Okay. Do you want me to explain this first, or do you want a motion first?
Oh, you know, yes. Okay, well, I have a motion.
Doesn't matter to me.
There is a recommended motion on our pieces of paper here. Yep. Okay, would you like to try this one?
Sure. I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of 2 commercial refrigerator units, not to exceed a total of $20,000 plus freight.
Second. Okay, motion has been made and seconded. The motion is now before us on the floor.
Okay, thanks. You know, so many great things are happening in our district. We knew it was a matter of time when our refrigeration unit would go out. Our current refrigeration unit for all of our food service is over 30 years old, and it was donated to the school by actually the liquor store when they upgraded many, many years ago. So, Jamie back there, no. We've had Wally in servicing it several times this year already, and it died last Friday. So what we need to do, I mean, I should preface this by saying kids' health is not, they're not in danger or anything. We've got all the, we've really stepped up, and we've got the refrigeration that we need so that the food is good. But we do need to purchase 2 separate refrigerated units. I've been on the phone all day Friday and a lot yesterday and today to locate 2 standalone refrigeration units. You know, this is to get us by until we do the renovation. Of course, we looked at if we have to buy these now, can they be part of the renovation later? Probably not, because when we do the renovation, we're going to want a stationary unit that is very, very expensive, and that will be installed after everything's demoed and things like that. But within our school district, we can always use those separate refrigeration units somewhere else, like we might repurpose one to the culinary arts classroom or something like that. But in the meantime, for the next, say, 2 years until we get a new kitchen, hopefully it gets approved, we need 2 standalone units. We also have got a unit that we did bring down from the upstairs in the high school, and so that will help us also until we can get these 2 new units. They're going to cost about $8,000 to $9,000 each, so we're looking at about $18,000 and then about $1,200 for freight up from Seattle. We're looking at about 4 to 6 weeks out to get them, even if we order them tomorrow. They should serve our district very, very well for many years. The most important thing is the safety of our kids, and we want to make sure that we've got good refrigeration units, you know, as quickly as possible for them. Carly Wells has changed menus so that we don't need as much refrigeration here until we can get things going. But I'm asking the board to approve the purchase of the 2 units. As the board policy says, the superintendent just has the authority to spend up to $10,000. So this would be an expenditure of excess of $10,000. So that's why I'm asking for that. These are great units. They're like a 3- and a 5-year warranty on them. And I've talked with our local repairman. They're what he recommended, too, so we could get those serviced very well.
Okay, and the funding is coming from some money that we already have set aside for the renovation, I understand.
Correct.
Or we also have some capital improvement monies. So there's a couple possible pots to take this money from.
Right. We're thinking that the most probable place to take it would be money set aside in the kitchen renovation fund. And so there's monies there to cover that.
Okay, and I see Karen Quislin nodding her head, so that's a...
Because those funds are designated towards the food service program.
Okay, we have funds designated for the food service program that would be used.
So, it was for the CIP project because we wanted to make sure that we were keeping the momentum going with the CIP project in case we needed more architect or work done to before we got it to the part where it's been fully funded or not 80% funded by the state in
70, yeah.
Oh, 70.
70, I think it is, yeah.
So there are some funds set aside. Last year when we did our spring revision, we moved $65,000 to the food service renovation project. And so I would recommend that we use some of those funds for the purchase of these refrigerators because it is designated for our food service program.
Okay.
And
I
we
just
are
thought
in need
people
for
might kind of wonder where the money's coming from,
mm-hmm.
so that's a good thank you for answering that question.
You said there's no way to use, you just go ahead and buy the new fridge.
No, and you'd asked me about how much would that cost, and you know, I said, "Oh, about $30,000." It's probably closer to $100,000, but we really can't because we want a stationary unit, and that would only be installed after everything's demoed and then put in there, and we don't know that we have that approved yet, and I wouldn't want to spend that kind of money and then go to the legislature and say, now you have to fund this because we've already got this huge refrigerator. So I think it's wiser just to buy the standalone units.
Well, it does seem like we do have places that it could be used because there is quite a bit going on now. More of the students now are being housed in the school when they're traveling. Mm-hmm. We didn't used to have very many students staying in our school, but now we have a lot more of them staying in our school. I see Jamie nodding his head at that. And there's a lot more... they're serving a lot more food to them, and they're also keeping their own food in our refrigerators. So I would think there's would be quite a use for a couple larger refrigerators in other places in our school than just right in the lunchroom at this, you know, where they're going to go now. So I think in the future they still have a good home.
Right.
All righty. Any more questions? Okay. All in favor of approving the purchase of two?
Yeah.
This is okay. Okay. The motion before us is to approve the purchase of two commercial refrigerator units not to exceed a total of $20,000 plus freight. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Megan Weston?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Oh, I can hear you now. Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Gene Ellis?
Yes. Motion passes 4-0. Thank you.
That's great. I'll get those ordered in the morning.
Very good.
So,
Carly will be happy.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Additional comments from board members?
I just was curious. I thought of a question while the board meeting was going. Dr. Stroh, do you know when the combi oven would be able to get purchased now that we have the grant? Is that like another month or two out?
I think...
No?
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure on the procedure there. I know that Carly was in my office today working on an order. I said, well, get it into us. Karen, are you better at answering that procedure-wise?
I'll know more next week. I'm working on payroll, so I haven't really read the letter except for the fact that it wasn't awarded.
Okay.
So I don't know what the process is that we have to go through as far as if we submit what we want to them or if it's a from the Department of Ed. So I don't know the fine details. I'm sorry.
Right.
Okay, there's a possibility the board might have to approve the expenditure of those funds? We accept them and expend them, or we don't? I don't know that we have to do that.
I will check.
That might be a question, too. I think that's your question partly, Sarah?
Partly. I was just kind of curious, too, that it might be available. Just have a, you know, just strictly curiosity if we're looking at, you know, 3 or 4 months out near the end of the school year or where she's going to be able to take advantage of that, you know, potentially even as soon as January after the Christmas break. But
the faster the better, right?
Yeah.
And Sharon might be better
And the only, I mean, sorry, huge, I mean, you don't have to get back to me on that, I'm just curious. And then I just, more or less, I mean, I wanted to publicly thank Campus K. I had a difficult time hearing the school reports over the phone, so I was able to dial you up on, not dial you up, but get you on online on my father-in-law's computer. And so although it was delayed, and so that's why it was a little hard sometimes for me to get follow things because it's just a little bit delayed, but it was came in crystal clear on his computer speaker, so I would still be able to hear everybody give their reports, so that was really nice. So thank you, Campus K, for doing it online as well.
Modern technology, isn't it amazing? Great.
Yeah, and thank you for the text, Meg. I got the text so I could see the diagram, and that was pretty exciting. And that's when I went running downstairs and came up with a brilliant idea of being able to hear Dan Tate's report on the computer because I couldn't hear anything on my phone. It wasn't loud enough. So, yeah, thank you, Campus K.
Okay, Karen, did you have some couple more comments there?
Well, next month you'll have the grant award that we just got yesterday in the board packet, so I don't know if that, if you accept the award, the grant award, and it's for that purchase, I don't know if we have to bring it in front of the board again to approve the purchase of it. So I'm not sure if Sharon knows.
Maybe we could do both at the same time if we have to.
Yeah, okay. It's nice
okay. Okay.
Just because we want to move it along, we don't want us to be causing any slowdown.
No, you're not going to cause any slowdown.
Okay, good.
Right.
All right. Future agenda items, they will come up as they come up, I believe. And I think we're ready for a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. We are adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you all very much.
Awesome. We were just so excited to get that grant.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, another school board meeting in the books. You've been listening to the Petersburg School Board meeting live from Assembly Chambers.